Federal investigators say Shante Brody found his victims the way predators do now, not lurking on a corner but scrolling. He scoured the internet and social media, hunting for anyone vulnerable enough to take. One of them was a teenage runaway from an out-of-state boarding school. He found her on a half mile of Seattle pavement that traffickers themselves have a nickname for. They call it the track. A federal judge just gave Brody 20 years for what happened next. He is the sixth trafficker off that same stretch of road in 6 months. You're listening to Civic Intelligence. This is the story of a conviction that actually worked, and a city government that, on the very same corridor, has now made its third unmet promise in 3 years. Here are the facts a jury found true beyond a reasonable doubt. In April 2026, a federal jury convicted Shante Brody, age 38, of Seattle, on 5 felony counts: sex trafficking a minor, sex trafficking an adult woman by force, fraud, and coercion, transporting both women for prostitution, and illegally possessing a firearm. On July 7, 2026, U.S. District Judge John C. Coffiner sentenced him to 20 years in federal prison, 15 years of supervised release, and lifetime registration as a sex offender. This is a conviction and a sentence, not an allegation. First Assistant U.S. Attorney Neil Floyd described the location in blunt terms. This area, which traffickers refer to as the track or the blade, is a dangerous hub for commercial sexual exploitation. Floyd made a second point that matters just as much as the sentence itself. Brody was not a one-off. Shante Brody is one of 6 defendants involved in sex trafficking this office has prosecuted in the last 6 months, he said. 6 cases, 1 corridor, half a year. FBI, Seattle's special agent in charge, W. Mike Harrington, explained how Brody actually operated. Mr. Brody scoured the internet and various social media platforms, searching for vulnerable children and women to entice, Harrington said. Court records lay it out. In November 2024, a former girlfriend first alleged he'd assaulted her. By March 2025, he'd paid for a plane ticket for a woman flying in from Canada. Then, once she landed, coerced her into prostitution through threats, violence, and a gun. The following month, 2 Seattle women separately went to the FBI. Investigators also found the runaway minor from the boarding school. Phone records at trial showed Brody knew exactly how old she was. He was indicted in May 2025. He pleaded not guilty. The jury did not believe him. Brody is also not the only defendant federal and local investigators have pulled off that exact stretch of pavement this year. Earlier in 2026, Kiro 7 documented a separate operation in which 6 additional people were arrested on accusations of trying to exploit children along the same corridor. A different case entirely from Brody's, but the same half mile of road, producing the same category of crime again. Brody's case is not an anomaly. It's a symptom of a system King County's own prosecutors have been documenting for years, and, on the record, cannot say they've fixed. Between 2024 and May of 2025, the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office filed 427 felony cases tied to the Aurora Corridor alone. 99 were assaults, 30 involved illegal gun possession, 44 were burglaries, 67 were organized retail theft. That is a working criminal economy, operating in the open, on one road, for 16 months straight. Senior Deputy Prosecutor Alexandra Voorhees put the trafficking share of that docket plainly. About 80% of the trafficking and exploitation cases my office handles tie back to Aurora. Voorhees didn't just report that number. She went to Olympia and testified in support of a bill, House Bill 2526, that would have made patronizing a prostitute a felony. In plain English, it would have targeted the demand side, the buyers, who are the actual reason a trafficking corridor exists at all. State lawmakers heard the prosecutor who handles the cases tell them where 80% of the problem comes from. The bill died anyway. Meanwhile, the city had already been paying for this corridor for years. Seattle spent $3.3 million in 2024 and budgeted $2 million more for 2025 on trafficking diversion and survivor services. When city council members asked what that $5.3 million had actually bought, officials didn't produce a metric. They produced an adjective. The work, they said, is slow. And then there's the arrest that wasn't. Seattle police publicized a claim that six people had been arrested in an Aurora Avenue trafficking crackdown. It made the rounds as a rare piece of good news for the corridor. It was false. The arrests had actually happened in West Seattle, nowhere near Aurora. An acting lieutenant later apologized. Whatever else is true about Aurora Avenue, the public has now been handed at least one enforcement claim from its own police department that simply wasn't real. Every civilian official with authority over this corridor, city, county, and state, is a Democrat. Mayor Katie Wilson, a self-described Democratic socialist, sworn in this January. City Attorney Erica Evans. Councilmember Deborah Juarez, whose district includes Aurora. Council President Joy Hollingsworth. King County Prosecuting Attorney Lisa Mannion, whose office filed those 427 felony cases and then watched the demand-side bill die in her own state legislature. King County Executive Girmay Zahalai. Governor Bob Ferguson, presiding over the legislature that let House Bill 2526 fail. In June of 2026, 1 month before Brody's sentencing, Wilson, Juarez, Hollingsworth, and Evans stood together and announced a new investment in the corridor, $7.5 million, an 83% increase in survivor services spending since 2022. Wilson called the situation unacceptable. She's not wrong. But by the city's own accounting, this is at least the third distinct dollar figure attached to this same stretch of road in 3 years. $3.3 million, then $2 million, now $7.5 million. Each one announced in the same language of urgency as the last one. The people who actually took Shantae Brody off Aurora Avenue were not on that stage. It was a federal jury, a nonpartisan U.S. Attorney's Office under Neil Floyd, and a federal judge, John C. Coffenauer, applying 20 years the old-fashioned way, through a courtroom, not a press conference. The city and county spent, promised, and re-promised money on this corridor for years under the officials named above. It took institutions outside their control to put one trafficker away for two decades. A federal jury convicted Shantae Brody of trafficking a minor and an adult woman on Aurora Avenue. A federal judge gave him 20 years, the sixth such sentence off that corridor in 6 months, on a stretch of road where prosecutors tie 80% of their trafficking docket, where a felony bill for buyers died in Olympia, and where Seattle has now promised $3.3 million, then $2 million, then $7.5 million, without ever showing what the first two bought. The conviction is real accountability. The corridor is still waiting for the city and counties. This has been Civic Intelligence. Explore every source for yourself. The sentencing documents, the council testimony, the prosecutor's own numbers, at civicintelligence.news. If this show is worth your time, subscribe, and we'll see you next episode.